welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Got some great articles for you today, and we do have Dad on the phone. We got a pretty good connection, and we should be here with you guys for the next hour, bringing you some great news and some health articles. And, yeah, so how are you doing today, Dad, up there in Montana?
Well, I'm in northwest Montana now, looking at a spray chemtrails. Yeah, it's so funny. I got some friends who live up there, and they said, oh, we never have chemtrails. I'm watching them lay them down right now, and the whole sky is already going opaque. So, yeah, like I said last week, we're going to find out real quick who Trump is and what Trump does when he becomes president, and we all of a sudden see chemtrails come to a screeching halt.
Yeah, there's no question about that, if he actually does that. So we'll see what happens. One first article I want to address. Now, this is interesting. There may be actually a few Republicans left that are still trying to expose Hillary for what she is. Republican Jason Chavez and Chairman Bob Goodlatte penned a letter to the U.S. attorney presenting key pieces of information directly showing Clinton willfully lied during the October 22nd interrogation regarding the Benghazi debacle, in which she also answered questions concerning her illegal private email server. They stated four pieces of sworn testimony by Secretary Clinton described herein are incompatible with the FBI findings. A representative for the Justice Department responded on the request on August 2nd, saying they would take appropriate actions as necessary, which we'll see actually what happens with that. But apparently she clearly perjured herself on four distinct times, and they said she violated Section 18 U.S.C. 1621, which is supposed to lead to a fine and or imprisonment up to 5 years for perjury. So I don't know. We'll see if this goes through. It probably won't, but I am happy to see that there are a few people left up there that are Republicans that are trying to expose her for what she really is, and that's complete and total thief, crooked, crooked woman, and witch on top of that.
She kind of gets a straight flush, doesn't she?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I can tell you what's going to happen as long as Obama's in office. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. But
the irony of all of this is the fact that this woman is the best the Democratic Party can do to run for president, which shows us, again, that the Democratic Party or the Republican Party and all of these people they put into these positions to run for these offices are just figureheads. They don't mean anything. You know, we're being run by the Council of 300, the Bilderberger Group, the Rothschild Banking Cartel, the international banks. That's who's running the planet, Lucifer himself, you know, through the Rothschilds. I mean, this is just a big mess. The problem that they're having is there's so many Christians that are waking up and learning truth that they're praying against it so strongly that they're not able to bring their scams into fruition the way they used to, and people are being exposed. But sadly, because the entire judicial system has been corrupted, there's nothing we can do at this point except for pray for new judges on the Supreme Court and for these people in Congress who've gotten away with all of these horrible lies and things they've done because they're being blackmailed, for them to get out of office in this election in November. So I have to say, any incumbent that you have, unless they're really, really good, I'd vote them out. And I would vote in any kind of challenger in the GOP. I would just say, enough of this. Of course, I don't know how many primaries are left, and it may be the same old, against the Democrats versus the Republicans again in the House and the Senate election. So we'll find out, Austin. But yes, I don't believe anything will happen because this Hillary Clinton has proven time and time again that she's above the law, and there's nothing that anybody can do to rein this Jezebel in. So what's your next story, bud?
Yeah, well, we're starting to see more and more issues with Obamacare now. Every single month more stuff starts coming out. Just with the premium hikes with insurance companies that aren't even, you know, as far as with Obamacare rates, like specifically with Lana, you know, I just got an email today that her insurance basically is going to be going up $42 a month for the insurance that she has, which it's already like $350 a month. It's already ridiculously high. This is happening across the board now, and it's about to get really, really bad in some areas. The four biggest U.S. health insurers admit now that they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars on the Obamacare plan, and rather than expand their coverage, many of them are pulling out of the exchange. I talked about this in detail a couple weeks ago, and it's getting even worse now. United Health is expecting to lose over $850 million on Obamacare, with Athena, Anthem, and Humana are on track to lose at least $300 million each this year. Humana is exiting 8 of 19 states that they're in and reducing its presence to to just 156 counties from 1,351 counties just a year ago. Now, August 15th now, Athena said it will stop selling Obamacare plans in 11 of the 15 states that have participated in the program. It will be reversing its plan to expand, as they said they were going to be going into five new states next year, but now they've decided that they're going to pull out of 11 states instead. The complete and total mess, the thing, the complete and total failure, is just getting worse and worse and worse. You can't give people insurance for $20 and $30 a month that are habitually sick and always in the hospital running up the bills and expect everybody else to subsidize it, which is what's happening. I talked to somebody a while back ago that they had gotten on the Obamacare plan when it started, and their insurance for like full coverage, I mean really good plan, was like $50 a month. $50 a month. And I mean, you can't even get any type of medication for that and actually make any money. And that's what's happening now, is they've subsidized this stuff with these super, super, super low premiums, and it's costing them, as you see now, these companies upwards of $800+ million a year now subsidizing this crap, and it doesn't work. This has never worked. It can't work here. So we'll see what happens. I know Trump has already stated that he wants to repeal Obamacare, and I don't know what he wants to put in place of it, if anything, but it's definitely something that needs to be addressed, because this is just going to put the American population further and further in debt as the United States government continues to subsidize these ridiculous insurance plans and basically stick it to everybody else that pays a lot of money in taxes and already pays a ton of money in insurance. It's quite nauseating, actually, to see this happening.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, Austin. In fact, a lot of the swing states right now are having major premium increases in the Obamacare field. And the problem you're going to have is this. I have several friends of mine, and they never ever went to the doctor's office, and they were low income, and they basically got Obamacare for free or for 50 or 60, 80 bucks a month. And suddenly they're having $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 testing done almost immediately. And when they did this, of course, it just basically runs up the premium rates for everybody else who can afford it. Of course, the insurance exchanges, they start to collapse. The truth of the matter is this. Until we rein in the rising cost of health care, until we tell the companies that are manufacturing MRI machines, that are selling them and sending their own patients into these machines they own through their LLCs, that they can't charge with a certain amount of money to do this, it's not going to be any better. In other words, you don't need to spend $3,000 for MRI when you do it off insurance. You can pay $450 for it. And until they fix this mess that they started, it's not going to do any good for anybody. And sadly, the Obamacare is not really true globalized health care for the United States. It's basically the insurance is too high. If it was going to be true health care freedom for everybody, everybody would have health care and there would be no cost whatsoever. The problem is these major insurance companies are run by the banking cartels, and also the pharmaceutical corporations are run by the banking cartels, and these provide a major source of profit for these major corporations, these multinational corporations, and they're not about to start lowering their prices. They're not about to start giving away free stuff to people when they can continue to gouge the American population. So Obamacare, I'm afraid, is a complete and total abysmal failure. Sadly, we're kind of stuck with that right now. As I've told my listeners many times before, Austin, my insurance rates were at almost at $2,000 a month for the family 4 or 5 years ago, and I had a $10,000 deductible. I had never even used the insurance since you had that leg injury back when you were like 14 years old. So about 5 years ago, I canceled all of them. When I saw Obamacare coming, I thought, well, something really terrible happens, I'll just sign up. But the reality is I'm not going to go in for chemotherapy. I'm not going to go in for radiation. They're not going to do any kind of weird treatment protocols on me. I already know how to handle most of that stuff myself, so I'm not going to be involved with it, choosing their options regardless. So that's why I decided to drop my health care coverage. Now, if you have health care insurance, I'm certainly not telling you to drop it. But for the last 5 years, look at how much money I've saved, $2,000 a month, $24,000. That's over $100,000 that I have saved in health care premium. And I would have not used the health care unless we had any major accidents. So what I've done is that our company has workman's comp. So if I'm injured at work, I'm covered with that. And I'm also covered with my health care on my automobiles. And I have stacked personal injury protection on all the vehicles. That covers any hospitalization. So if I'm injured at work or if I'm injured in an automobile accident, I'm automatically covered totally without having to have the medical coverage with Obamacare or any other type of program like that. So that's what I chose to do. But again, I'm not giving you any type of insurance advice, but that's the best way I saw to handle it, just basically self-insure. If you have a cataclysmic or catastrophic thing that happens, sign up for the Obamacare, which they told you we could do in the beginning, I was done with it, Austin. But like you said, with Atlanta, now she's going up another 10%. And when they start hiking these premiums, 20%, 30%, and 40%, it's going to get much, much worse, son.
Oh, yeah, and they already stated, I think up in New York, they're supposed to be seeing, on average, I think a 26% hike now on their premiums, and a couple other states are going to be in the mid-20s to the high teens. And when you start seeing rates like this, I mean, you're going to get to a point where people are going to have to choose between grocery shopping and insurance, as simple as that, for an entire family rate. And that's just something that's not affordable. And what most people, you know, a lot of people don't understand is that if you do end up going to the hospital and you don't have insurance, they still have to see you. They can't deny you. And a lot of times the hospitals will negotiate with you significantly if there's an issue and you're in the hospital and your bill's $40,000-$50,000. A lot of these hospitals will negotiate 75-80% with you to reduce the bill. So you got to start doing the math on it. If your insurance is $300-$500 a month, and you got a $5,000 or $10,000 deductible, well, shoot, right there, you're going to be spending $10,000 to $15,000 a year just to cover yourself that year and your deductible if you have to go into the hospital. Well, if you have a $50,000 bill and you can get it dropped 75%, you're only going to be looking at the same amount of money you would have spent on insurance all year and negotiating with the hospital directly and paying it that way. So, I mean, there's a lot of different options around it. So everybody needs to understand that we're not in a position now where we have no options. There's multiple options. You just have to know where they are, and you have to know where you stand and how your health is as well. And like Dad said, I'm not giving any insurance advice out, but since we're on this topic, I figured I would address it as well. With supplements.
It goes right back to Cloward and Pivot, Austin. If you start crippling the country with health insurance and crippling the country with social welfare programs, then what ends up happening is the country completely flips upside down and goes broke. And that's what their goal is. Their goal is to completely destroy the United States, the infrastructure of the United States, and the people of the United States. That's what they want to do. That's where they want to take us. And they're doing it. That's why they've got this massive, massive deficit. And they'll blame, if Trump becomes the president, they'll blame the doubling of the deficit that Obama did on Donald Trump. Everything will be Trump's fault.
Yep.
Sadly, the only thing that's kept the stock market afloat is the tens of trillions of dollars in off-book balance sheets that have been printed in U.S. currency or added as dots and dashes in U.S. bank accounts, you know, through the banking systems to keep the whole thing bought up as far as the stock exchange. And that's what's happened with the mergers and acquisitions, and why the New York Stock Exchange is at all-time highs when it should be all-time lows right now. In fact, Mark Faber says that basically there's a 50% correction coming in the market. I think he's probably right. Now, when it's going to happen, I have no idea. But all I know is that the banking debacle of 2007 was never corrected. The safeguards that were there, like Glass-Steagall, to prevent the banks from gambling with your money, have never been put back into place. And we've got a major, major problem with this that's never been addressed. And these chickens are going to come home to roost. And sooner or later, this thing's going to look like a whole house of dominoes and cards coming down, 100 times worse than what 2007 was. But we'll have to wait and see when that happens, Austin. See how much longer they keep printing this funny money.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting with the way the insurance companies are doing this to try, and everything's working together with the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the medical companies. They're all working in collusion, and this just shows you more and more now. Alliance for Natural Health just brought out now another issue that's going on with the FDA again, one of the worst attacks on natural health supplements since the 90s. Remember in 2011, guys, we sent emails out, if you guys remember this, the FDA created a very troublesome revision of how the supplement industry could comply with the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994. Now, according to the natural health advocacy groups, the FDA's 2011 revisions were a thinly veiled reversal of the consumer rights that we are so hard to get a hold of to begin with. Now, what's going on is the FDA is going back into this again, and they're revising it again after they basically didn't do a whole lot in 2011. So the entire changing that they're doing now, they have a new draft that's coming out. And under DSHEA, any dietary supplement, as you guys probably know, introduced to the market in the U.S. after 94 is considered new. And any manufacturer must notify the FDA at least 75 days in advance of marketing this product. That's been the same. That hasn't been an issue. But what's startling about this information on this new draft is it represents a dire threat to the supplement industry and, by extension, consumer access to supplements. The guidance imposes safety requirements on new supplements that are not even expected of drugs. The FDA describes how to determine the kind of safety studies to submit an NDI notification. Now, what's interesting is IND refers to new drugs. NDI refers to new supplements. Under current law now, if any application is filed for an ingredient and that ingredient is being studied for use of a part of a new drug, the ingredient can no longer be produced or included in any supplement if an NDI has not previously been accepted. This already happened to Paradoxine, the form of B6. So what they're stating here now is if a manufacturing company comes out with a vitamin supplement that's a pharmaceutical, they can straight make this a pharmaceutical even if the natural companies are trying to make it, but they have not submitted it to the FDA yet, and it will completely block it. This is one of the reasons why a lot of companies are starting to come out with really good probiotics, natural probiotics, and making them more aggressive. Probiotics like Acidophilus are scientifically proven to treat at least 18 conditions, and probiotics are one of the biggest thing on the chopping block right now, as the FDA has cited risks, and they want to crack down on them. They point out that this coincidence that Big Pharma has developed now its own probiotics, which can lead to massively hiked up prices of prescription versions of the exact same kind. So what they want to start doing now, guys, they want to start restricting and banning certain supplements and making them pharmaceuticals. Now, they've already done this now with vitamin C and with cod liver oil. Now, they haven't banned them from actual usage for natural supplementation sales, like through our office or something like that, but they already have their own pharmaceutical cod liver oil that is unbelievably expensive, and it's not any type of quality or quantity or anything better than what we carry, and it's super high. Well, the insurance companies have to pay for this stuff. Now they want to start doing that with probiotics and multiple other nutrients that are really, really healthy. And if they get their way, they will try and ban these and basically schedule them as a scheduled four, which will make them in the same category as an antibiotic. So you can't sell them over the counter or at a natural supplement store. You'll only be able to get these specific probiotics through your pharmacy. And then again, we will see what's happening. The same thing that's been going on, where they will rake these things up through the roof. You'll be paying $5, $6, $7 a pill for a single probiotic that they'll prescribe to you after you've been on antibiotics, because you're supposed to be on probiotics after you've been on antibiotics. Everybody knows that now. They've shown it works really well, but they have to try and corner the market and get the natural companies out of the way so the pharmaceuticals can keep taking over more and more and more of the market, to the point where there will be no option left for natural supplementation. The pharmaceuticals will literally own the market by law, and there'll be nothing we can do about it. That's the overall goal. That's what's so scary about what the FDA is trying to do again.
Well, you're exactly right, Austin. I mean, everything's about reducing the American population to a dollar bill. You know, natural health supplements can sell antibiotics for $20, $30 a bottle, or $40 a bottle, or $50 a bottle. Those same supplements will be sold for $400 or $500 a bottle by the pharmaceutical corporations, and they'll control the profit margin. And sadly, the American consumer, again, is being used as a tool, as a pawn in this giant financial Ponzi scheme of the international banking cartels that have been brought to you live by the Rothschild banking cartel, with the taking over of the United States government in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act, and again in 1934 with the Exchange Stability Fund. That's exactly what these guys are doing, because remember, we talked about this in depth the other night on the Hagman Show. They don't consider you and I to be human beings. They consider us to be subhuman. They don't care whether they give us good products or bad products, as long as they make a profit. That's the hardest thing that Christians have to grasp, is that these people are not like us. They don't think like us. The only thing they care about is greed and avarice. That's why Jesus says so succinctly in the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's exactly what these people are. They're the root of all evil because they love money. They hoard money. Their whole life is controlled by avarice and greed. And sadly, these are the guys that have pretty much taken over Washington. They're lobbyists and blackmailing of the people that are in Washington, and they're the ones that are writing the laws and creating all of these problems, including trying again to take our health rights away to buy natural supplements. And they chip away at it little by little by little. My doctor in Lakeland, who provides us with vitamin C, he can no longer buy vitamin C intravenously. He has to have a compounding pharmacy make it for him, because the government has said that they no longer can manufacture the vitamin C for intravenous application. So this is some crazy stuff that's going on. But remember, the alternative health industry has found all types of natural cures for heart disease, for diabetes, for cancer, all different types. And the pharmaceutical corporations, they don't want that stuff marketed because there's not enough margin in it. Secondly, they don't care if you live or die. They want to make things like diabetes and like cancer all long and lingering diseases that last for years, if not decades, or for your entire life. They can force you to buy their expensive medications every single month and not provide a natural cure. That's what's going on. That's who's in charge. That's why it's happening to all of us. And sadly, all of us need to stay in touch with our congressmen, the ones that aren't crooked, and tell them we don't want to do this. But look what happened in the last couple of weeks. Obama signed another DARK Act in to protect Monsanto, and it didn't make any difference. And 90% of the population wanted to know what we were being fed, and Congress said, we're not going to tell you what you're being fed. Ha ha, too bad. See, that's the problem when you have people like this in the White House and people like this in charge. They do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and they don't care how it affects anybody else as long as they make profit from it.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. And it's the same thing I addressed last week when I was doing the show by myself, I think on Friday, with the DEA was supposed to come out, and they'd been already petitioned by Congress. They'd already had over 100,000 petitions on U.S.gov, and they were supposed to basically come out and reschedule cannabis as something lower. And they came out and said, no, we're not going to do so. We don't think it has any type of medicinal value. We're still leaving it as Scheduled 1 in the same category as methamphetamine and heroin and LSD because we don't think it has any value to anything. Well, the issue I've brought up on that is that I told everybody at the beginning, I said the DEA was never going to reschedule it. They never even were going to consider rescheduling it because they can make too much money off controlling it with the prison industrial complex and controlling the drug trade, and they don't want the natural health care supplement companies to be able to market any type of cannabis oil or anything for the health benefits. They want to keep it as Scheduled 1. So it has no medicinal value. So literally when you get pulled over with it, you go to prison and it's a felony charge. That way they can keep the prison industrial complex running and all the bonds running and everything else and keep the police state funded. That was the entire aspect of that. But no, you're exactly right. Everything comes down to greed with these guys. And what's even interesting now, we've talked so many times now about how Soros has been funding all this stuff. We even know he's doing that out there in Milwaukee now. But even now, I mean, full-blown evidence. A new article, Hack Soros member, came out now, a memo that basically said that there was a unique opportunity to create accountability for the Baltimore police. This is what happened a while back ago when they had the riots up there. With aiding activists in reforming the city, according to the Hack document, they further confirmed that the Open Society last year approved $650,000, and I quote, to invest in technical assistance and support for the groups of the core of the burgeoning of Black Lives Matter movement. The information was contained in a detailed 69-page report, and it clearly stated that they funded these guys with over $600,000 to the Black Lives Matter movement to essentially incite violence. They didn't specifically say that in the memo, but come on, guys. You're giving this much money to a group of individuals that are essentially a terrorist organization in the United States, and it wasn't to incite violence or any type of malice. No, this is exactly what they're doing, and we busted them multiple times now, and now we see what they're doing up in Milwaukee where they had to bring the National Guard in and issue curfews. This is sad because a lot of the people that are involved in this, they get drug into it. They don't even know what they're doing, and they have these protesters and these paid agitators that are going in there intentionally, paid for, to start and incite violence in these cities. And like I told you last week, the sheriff over there in Milwaukee, he has been so adamant about Second Amendment rights, about constitutional rights, about stopping this Black Lives Matter movement from inciting violence. And then all of a sudden, they have these massive riots and protests burning stuff down in Milwaukee. That wasn't by chance at all. They did that to prove a point to him, to show him that we're going to do whatever you want, especially if you're going to run your mouth about the Second Amendment and constitutional rights. So it's just interesting that we see how all this stuff is funded from the backside, and it's intentionally done to basically break down the fabric of society and pit everyone against each other. At the same time, everything else is coming together at the same time. It's definitely interesting to watch that, but I know you've seen some of the same things up there, Dad. How's the feel in Montana? Last time I was up there, it's pretty chill. Is it still about the same?
Yeah, it's pretty chill. I mean, they're spraying with some pretty heavy chemicals, like I mentioned earlier. They're all over the skies here, so the last time I was here, they were pretty much devoid of chemtrails. Now, apparently, they've got a bunch of this spraying going on up here, too. But the people up here are still just really constitutionalists. They're big Second Amendment people, and they just they don't want any tyranny from the federal government enveloping Montana. So it's a good state still. It's like Colorado used to be before all the liberals from California moved there. Sadly, with George Soros funding Black Lives Matter, he's also the person who's funded all of this immigration into Europe by the Muslims. See, back in 1970, there were about 200,000 Muslims in England. The problem is every 10 years, the population doubles of the Muslims. So now there's like 3.6 million Muslims, and now they're all of breeding age because they have sometimes up to four wives, which is legal in their culture, and some of these guys are having up to 16 children. And they're saying that now it's doubling even more quickly because they're all, the majority of those ages from like 15 to 25, which is the perfect age for breeding with human beings, and they're having massive amounts of children at a very, very young age. And that he's saying that if England doesn't do something, this is one of the top representatives out of England, he said if England doesn't do something immediately, England's going to be lost. He says if Sweden is already lost and it's become a Muslim country at this point, it's like one of their cities is the highest rape area in the entire planet other than South Africa. And sadly, we know that because we were in Stockholm a couple of years ago, and there literally were no white people there. I'm not saying that from a racist standpoint, just from a observational standpoint. It was almost all Muslim. And when Sharon and I had visited Sweden for the first time, back with you, Austin, we were still a young kid, probably back in, 1998, 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago now, Sweden was still blonde hair and blue eyes. But their massive cultural program of integrating these different types of races into their culture has basically destroyed the very fabric of society of Sweden, and now we're in a situation where Sweden is basically lost unless you want to move there as a Muslim country. Unless the Swedes actually, man up and start deporting people, it's not going to get any better. The problem is once they become Swedish citizens, they have rights, and they really can't be deported any longer. So this is exactly what Trump talked about. He said we need to find out who these people are, make sure they don't come into this country to create chaos, and make sure they're not a bunch of jihadists. Sadly, that's not what they want to talk about. They want to talk about all of these things that Trump has said incorrectly or not being politically correct. And the representative out of England said, look, we need a Donald Trump in England. We need somebody in England who's going to tell the truth and let people know that England will be lost if we don't stop this massive immigration of immigrants. That's the biggest factor of Brexit. That's why so many people in England finally had enough. They said, we don't want to be involved with this anymore. We don't want to allow a free flow of Muslims coming into Germany, coming into England, basically, and having to take all of these people into social welfare programs and destroying the very fabric and culture of Europe. The Muslims were driven out of Europe already in the 1400s when the Moors came in. In fact, we were at the stronghold. Remember, you were there with us in Alhambra in Spain when in 1492 the Muslim king there basically gave the keys to Alhambra to the Queen Elizabeth, who's the one who basically had funded Columbus. It wasn't Queen Elizabeth, it was another one of the queens who had funded the funding of Christopher Columbus. So this is what's interesting to me is that, we're again seeing the same battlefront 500-600 years later, and the Muslims, basically the term, Islam means submission, and they want everybody to submit to them, to their wishes, and to their religion, and they want to put everybody under Sharia law. That's the point of all of this, and if we don't wake up in the United States and take a look at what's going on and realize that our cultures are not mutually compatible, they're mutually exclusive, and one culture will dominate the other culture eventually, and the Muslims are not a religion of peace. We've seen that over and over and over again, Austin. That's my two cents on that.
Well, my next article just rolled right into this again. A British tourist has been killed in a knife attack in Cyprus after he stepped in to defend a fellow British girl who's being harassed by two Muslims in Cyprus. George Lowe, age 22, this guy's young, was enjoying a night out at the end of the week's holiday in the Cyprus town of Ala Napa, when he allegedly stepped in to stop a group of men who were disrespecting, groping, harassing an English girl. Mr. Lowe is have to have told them, that's enough, you guys need to leave. Two of the men disappeared, only to return a few minutes later with a knife, The Guardian reported. Mr. Lowe was stabbed in the neck as he walked down the street, a busy main road, severing an artery. His friend Ben Parker, also 22, was stabbed four times in the back, but is said to have made a recovery. The two assailants were described as Muslims. Police chief confirmed the men are still at large. A lot of people were really, really upset about this. Apparently, he had a lot of friends back home. He's about to be coming back from vacation, and basically got killed by two completely and totally low-life individuals. And the issue is, he was doing the right thing. He was stepping in to support and help and defend somebody that couldn't defend themselves against these animals. And this right here is the specific reason why I say we, A, have to keep these individuals out of this country, and secondly, we have to keep our Second Amendment rights, because this is the type of incident where carrying a firearm will save your life and somebody else's. When somebody comes at you with a knife, that is 100% intent to do deadly harm, and you have the right to defend yourself with a firearm at that point. So if he would have had a firearm, I don't know how it would have gone differently. I can't speculate now. It's sad, though, this young man's dead, but it just goes to show you that he really was doing the right thing. But in Britain and down there in Cyprus, firearms are completely banned. They don't even have concealed weapon permits. So the chances of him legally carrying a firearm were completely eliminated, allowing these two Muslims with a knife to basically know that, and they know that there was not going to be any type of serious resistance, you know, maybe forcible as far as punching, fighting, jujitsu, but at that, though, if you still pull out a big old butcher knife, you are on the upper hand with that, unless somebody's extremely skilled in hand-to-hand combat with knife takedowns. So it's sad this happened, but this is another example of what you were just saying, Dad, and another prime example of why I tell everybody, you need to get your license. You need to know how to operate a firearm efficiently and effectively. Just having the license, just having a gun sitting in your safe is not enough. I'm not saying you got to carry it every single day. What I am saying is, when you're out somewhere and you know there may be a situation that may arise in this type of area, you have to go somewhere that may not be your, you know, prime area you really want to go, you have that ability and you have that right to defend yourself or step in and defend somebody else because they're about to be hurt, molested, or killed. And this guy was doing the right thing, and he paid for his life with it, but it's quite sad because it very well could have been diverted if you would have been able to legally carry a firearm with him.
Well, also, what probably happened is they probably came up from behind. He probably never saw the knife attack happen. They probably stuck up behind him and stabbed him in the back of the neck.
Possibly.
That's because they're, because the other guy got stabbed too, so they probably didn't jump in front of him and confront him with a knife. He probably didn't even see it coming, Austin. He probably was sucker stabbed, which is really, really sad. So you see all of this stuff happen all the time, and you kind of wonder how it happened. Well, guys, you have to be aware of your circumstances and your situations at all times. Sometimes that's easier said than done, because in many cases, you know, you just don't see it coming. I've been sucker punched before when I was a bouncer in a bar, and it happened to me once. It never happened again, because from that point on, I never turned my back on an aggressive person, because I learned the hard way. Sadly, if you get stabbed in the neck by one of these people, you may not have a chance to learn it the hard way. You may be already dead. It's like trying to survive the first heart attack. It may not happen. You may just be dead after the first heart attack. So that's why you have to practice preventive health care so you don't have that first heart attack. Very, very important in all the areas of our life.
Yes, absolutely. The speaking of that, though, with knives, this is interesting. This is, I don't know if you heard about this, Dad. I heard about it yesterday, but I didn't bring it up yet because I wasn't sure about it. And it's true. A kid, Austin Haroff, who was from Florida State University, played football. This is very strange. He was out eating dinner with his parents and basically got irritated and mad and left and went over to apparently somebody who's in his neighborhood, a couple, and stabbed them to death, then turned around and the neighbor came over and he stabbed him. And reportedly, when law enforcement showed up, this kid was eating the other man's face off, like the same thing we saw in Miami. They said when deputies arrived, they had very strong difficulty subduing Haroff, who plays football and wrestles. They said he was grunting and growling as he tried to eat the victim's face. One deputy immediately closed the gap between herself and Haroff and realized he was actually biting the victim in the face, causing substantial trauma. She deployed her taser, but the stun gun had little effect on Haroff. Eventually, he was overpowered by several deputies and police. The odd part about this is blood work came back that there were no bath salts, no cocaine, no opiates, no methamphetamines, and no marijuana in his system whatsoever. Yet this individual was acting like a real true animal. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if we're starting to see the beginning of more aggressive demonic possessions take place or what, but this is some very, very egregious behavior right here. And this wasn't from anybody crazy. This was from a second-year Florida State student that basically had really good grades, played football and wrestled, and completely went and flipped out. I don't know how to explain this, but I just kind of wanted to bring this up because this is very bizarre, violent behavior. And we saw the same thing down in Miami. I don't know if the government's batch testing stuff again like they did back in the day with the CIA and LSD. I don't know if they're doing this stuff now with some of the frequencies like Dad's talked about, or I don't know if it's just flat out some type of demonic possession. But this was a pretty bizarre incident that just happened up there. And I pray for the families that were involved because this is horrible to be involved in something like this. But it's really, really odd to me. I didn't really want to bring it up because it's pretty negative, but I felt like it needed to be addressed.
Well, again, you know, we don't know what the heck they're doing with CERN, what the heck they're bringing in our dimension, what they're trying to do as far as demonic infiltration into our dimension. We have no idea. All we know, we got a bunch of nutbag scientists. I remember when I was reading the original articles and what they had talked about with the nuclear wars and the hydrogen bombs and the atomic bombs, and they said they didn't know what would happen if they detonated one in the atmosphere. It could actually blow a huge hole in the atmosphere. It could vent all of the oxygen and all the air off the planet, and everybody on the planet would be killed. So they did it anyhow to see what it would do. I mean, I don't know where these guys get off on this kind of weird behavior and how they think it's okay. But some of these guys are just a bunch of really sick puppies, and they want to do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it, and they don't care about the consequences to anybody. I consider CERN to be one of those little experiments. They're trying to change the very fabric of space-time by going back into time and doing who knows what with the opening of different dimensions and portals and gates. So this is some weird stuff and some weird technology. And again, I've said this before, nuclear technology is totally and completely antiquated. We don't need nuclear bombs anymore. We have space-based weapon platforms that can lay waste entire regions. We don't need nuclear weapons. That's why one of the guys at the Republican convention was saying how our nuclear arsenals still run using floppy disks. Well, there's a reason it's being run with floppy disks. The technology is antiquated. It's like saying, I need to buy a car that has a cassette player in it or an 8-track tape player in it. They say, well, that doesn't exist anymore because that technology is long, long gone. Well, that's the problem that we have now with the technology that we're being exposed to. When this thing happened with this fallen angel intrusion or alien intrusion or whatever you want to call it back in Roswell in 1947, read the book The Day After Roswell by Colonel Corso. You'll find and understand it. Or you can read the book The Money Mafia by Helluride, who talks about it also. He's a former, like a Canadian Prime Minister of Defense. He's a cabinet-level officer. He's talking about what's going on. See, a lot of the talk shows don't want to cover this stuff because, to me, it all goes back to Genesis chapter 6 and the fallen angels. That's why I talk about this stuff on a repeated basis, because if you don't understand what's going on from an interdimensional physics standpoint, none of this makes any sense. People eating other people's face off? I mean, are you kidding me? First of all, if I had been a law enforcement officer, if I hit this guy with a taser and he was continuing to chow down on this guy's face, I would pull my gun out. I would put a bullet in his head and be done with it. I would not be sitting there trying to subdue some nutbag trying to eat somebody. I mean, this whole thing is complete and total nonsense. And sadly, it had to happen from Florida State, where I graduated from three times. And of course, well, I did three times. 3 degrees from Florida State. And the sad part about it is that, you know, it just gets more and more bizarre with these globalists and all the stuff they're promoting, Austin, and all the things that are going on around us, that we have no idea what the real purpose of any of this stuff is. I mean, we have spacecraft now that are capable of leaving Earth orbit. That's why the shuttle program was grounded. The shuttle program was antiquated. We're talking 1920s, German rocket science technology in the 30s. We're talking 80, 90, 100-year-old technology almost that's completely and totally gone. Germany worked with multiple scientists working with, you know, anti-gravity propulsion back in the 30s and the 40s. So all of the research that we've done, especially after Roswell, we got to be able to retrofit and back engineer what was going on with these spaceships. It's so far advanced. We're hundreds of years ahead of where they want us to know that we are. So sadly, again, who knows what in the world, if it was a frequency that caused this guy to do this, or some type of designer drug that they couldn't test with a blood test, they had no way to test for it. Remember, if you don't have a test for a specific compound, I learned this in organic chemistry, then there's no way to determine that specific compound exists, because you can't do the testing for it. So there's no telling what in the world they gave this kid, or this kid was involved in, to be doing this type of bizarre behavior. Very, very weird, especially feel sorry for the families up there that were killed.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. The incident too that happened, I remember that in Miami, that cop came upon the scene where the individual was pretty much doing the exact same behavior, and he told him to get off, and the individual basically growled at him and went back to eating the man's face. He didn't even try and taser him or anything. He immediately shot him. And pretty much he had to shoot him like 8 or 9 times, I remember that, to get the individual to even go down. Because he was, the officer was terrified, flat out. I mean, that's not something you see on a normal basis. It's really, really sadistic behavior. And like you said, though, you can't figure out what's in the bloodstream if you don't actually have a test for it. If you're doing some type of weird CIA research drug that's in the bloodstream that nobody even knows exists, how do you know it's even in the bloodstream?
Sort of test to determine very specifically if certain compounds existed when you test it for it. And if you don't know the compound, what the compound even is, there's no test for it. Then you have to try to run through a spectra analysis to try to figure out what it is and then try to break down the compound and try to fix it. Very, very time consuming. And most hospitals and research labs don't even have the technology or the ability to do that. So you have been in a situation where you have no idea what's going on. So it's crazy, son, that this stuff's actually happening.
It is. And now down, this is interesting. Now in Venezuela, ma'am, these boys stepped up their game. They are so sick in, not Venezuela, Argentina. I get the two confused sometimes. Argentina is so sick of Monsanto, the pollution that they're doing down there with the glyphosate, the spraying, the labs, the corn, all the stuff down. A giant coalition of farmers, activists, and citizens have completely stopped the expansion of a Monsanto seed factory in Malvinas, Argentina. Sick and tired of being poisoned by GMOs, the activists actually managed to completely stop construction of the plant by descending on the property en masse and basically pulling apart equipment and refusing to leave. Residents of an Argentine town have forced one of Monsanto's half-completed GMO seed plants to be completely dismantled. Residents from Argentina were reportedly ordered by courts to vacate the Monsanto factory, but they called in reinforcements instead to strengthen the blockade. Due to the past production of harmful products like Agent Orange, the people of Argentina are cognizant of their health and environmental impacts posed by companies like Monsanto. Sofia Gratico, one of the activists charged with leading the blockade, stated the company is leaving the field but does not yet recognize it is completely defeated in this battle. We talk to those who have dismantled what remains. We remain on alert and continue blocking the entire factory, waiting to see what will happen. We want the site now to be completely devoted to organic and sustainable agriculture. And so far, the Argentina government has not stepped in. The military has not stepped in. And they basically are refusing to go in and forcibly extract these people out that are blocking down this factory. So I got to give these people down in Argentina some credit. They must not be drinking a whole lot of fluoride because they're completely and totally sick of Monsanto being down there and poisoning their beautiful country. And they had enough of it, man. They went in and they completely stopped this thing. So I thought that was a pretty cool article today that these guys had enough, and they said no.
Well, no, sooner or later, you have to realize as a people, as a species, as a human, you know, as a patriot, that you're not going to accept the poisoning of your family anymore. And I think Argentina has had enough of it. Because Argentina, don't get me wrong, they've had their own sets of woes of their hyperinflation, et cetera, et cetera. But there's some major things that are going on with all of this stuff. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, there's no question about it, because the thing is, I mean, when you start looking at this stuff of what they're doing down there, it's pretty crazy. Because you see there is, and what they do is when they come into these places, they try and get a little foot in, they do a little bit, and then they spread, and they do more, and they spread, and it's the same thing they've done in the United States. And that's what they're doing here, and they're getting more and more, and now you see that they pretty much bought and paid for Congress. I mean, they got that DARK Act 2.0. They wrote it. They wrote the doggone bill. They completely changed it, and they got it approved now by Congress and the president, and this is what they do. This is what they do on a continual basis. And, I mean, even now, what they're doing with this dicamba stuff that they've brought out now, glyphosate has been increasingly scrutinized due to its carcinogenic effects. We've talked about that numerous times now. Monsanto quietly invested more than $1 billion in a new version of dicamba that's used in conjunction with other herbicides, including glyphosate. The problem is dicamba is so toxic and the ones that's being used right now, the version that they're using, is super, super arid, and it drifts really bad. It's super volatile, so it's killing all these soybeans. They stated on here, but the spring farmers began planting Monsanto's new soybeans on about 1 million acres in the U.S. and been spraying their fields with dicamba. But when the wind drifts, damaging soybeans on other farmers' fields that are not resistant to herbicide, this is a serious problem. This is out of the Modern Farmer. So, I mean, that's what these guys do. They constantly do stuff like this, and that's what Monsanto engages in. And they absolutely don't care about the health of the environment, the health of the people, the health of the animals, the long-term side effects that we're seeing. And in my opinion, as we stated before, I think these guys are intentionally doing this on purpose to completely dissolve the quality of health and longevity of this population that we currently have in this country and in the entire world. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, guys. Look at Russia. Russia is adamantly opposed to any type of GMO being in their country. Every couple months, they're coming out with another bill banning more GMOs. No production, no importation, no Monsanto seeds. Now they're in the process of completely banning any type of cattle feed or animal feed that has GMO in it. They've already stopped any type of animal feed that has high amounts of GMO. Now they're in the process of completely blocking any type of feed that has any testing for GMO as far as it tests positive for it. Russia is absolutely sick of it. They don't want to engage in the sadistic globalist behavior that they're pushing on us in the United States. They're going the opposite direction, and I have to salute them for that because it is very impressive to me that they've stood their ground and they basically said, no, we're not going to capitulate to Monsanto and all their sick seeds and GMO twists that they're doing to everything. They're standing their ground, and they're staying strong, and they're pushing harder and harder every single month to keep GMOs out of their country, and that really impresses me a lot, Dad.
Well, no, Russia is actually stepping up to the pump, and they're doing what the rest of the world needs to do. Sadly, you know, with the chemtrail spraying and all the stuff they're doing for food, it's all about food and agriculture now. I mean, the book, that video that was done, I think it was 2 years ago now, why in the world are they spraying and what in the world are they spraying, it goes into detail. I talked to Steve Quayle about this in length when we have a lunch with him on Friday, and he says, Ted, you've always got to keep your mind on the fact that their number one agenda is global depopulation. That's all they care about. They want to reduce the population of the planet to 500 million people. And they're not going to stop. They're going to reduce the food supply. They're going to continue to spray us with the chemtrails. Apparently, they don't want us here. Obviously, they don't. And they're doing everything they can to destroy us as quickly as they possibly can. And that's why up here in Montana, where a lot of the waters and the headwaters are running off all the way to the Mississippi River, they're stopping the rain. I mean, it's ridiculous here how many fires are going on, how hazy it is, how much smoke there is right now, how many fires are just burning here. It's just nuts. I'm looking at one right now. And sadly, they don't even try to put them out sometimes in these big forests because they're too so remote. And to me, it's just, we've been dealt out of the hand. Human population, human beings are basically going to become an extinct species on the planet while we integrate all of this off-world technology, fallen angel technology, exactly like they had in Genesis chapter 6, when every thought of every man was evil all of the time. And the reason Noah was chosen, him and his family, because he still had pure DNA. I mean, this is what they're doing again. The same thing they did in Genesis chapter 6, the same thing that caused the flood to happen the first time, and that's why God said, and what Jesus said, Yeshua said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. But guys, I want to thank you so much for listening to the show today. I have to cut out right now. And so I appreciate you guys listening. We love you. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us and your other supplements. I really appreciate you guys listening. And also, we'll talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
All right, we appreciate it, bud. Glad to have you on today, and hopefully we can have you again tomorrow.
Let's do it.
All righty. And the last article I have here, and this is interesting, this goes back to our public school system now. Grade school kids are actually being given social and emotional mindset assessments. The National Assessment Governing Board, an educational process, is planning on assessing students' social and emotional mindset and desire for learning and school climate. This is very strange now. Grades 4 through 12 will be given mindset assessments. So not only will they be doing their standard assessments like they do with normal schooling, they'll be indoctrinating students and assessing their mindset, which is almost like the Nazi Germany protocol as far as with the Hitler Youth. They said the kids are going to be assessed from grade school through college, and what they're going to be doing is, below are some examples of student assessments. They're going to be showing beginning understanding of numbers and quantity, shows on appreciation for books and reading, shows empathy and caring for others, responds to artistic creations or events, computers to give students mindset assessments is what they're going to be doing on it, and they're extremely invasive. They're going to be taking 10 to 30 minutes to complete. One task can cover a range of assessment areas and difficulty levels. Assessing a student's mindset will allow the government to determine a child's morale and religious beliefs. Here you go, and here's the creepy part about it. It should be no surprise that Google, the NSA's right hand, is involved in the student mindset assessment. Google provides the student assessment tool, Chromebooks, and apps, and forms the schools nationwide. Now, the weird thing about this, the next weird thing, is according to the PPRA, no student shall be required as part of any applicable program to submit to a survey, analysis, or evaluation that reveals information concerning. And then it goes through the things that are basically protected. The PPRA is the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment. And this mindset assessment completely goes against that. It's illegal. It violates that policy already. And what they're doing, in my opinion, is we've talked about before, they're getting our younger generation dialed in to this robotics protocol, this AI. They want to get them so far involved in this that they have no idea what's wrong, what's right, what's good, what's bad, anything they can do to essentially completely manipulate and change the mind of the young generation and twist and distort every which way they think. Because what they're going to do now with these assessments is they will start tailoring specific things directly towards these kids based on their assessment. So if the kid is extremely aggressive, if he has strong Second Amendment beliefs, if he's a so-called constitutionalist, if his parents own guns, believe me, all this stuff will eventually get brought up, guys. They're not saying this specifically in this article right here, but I promise you, when they start doing stuff like this, it's going to become more and more invasive the longer it goes on. And they're already wanting to do it now, 4th through 12th grade. So I can't imagine now what the 4th and 5th graders that get this assessment coming up are going to be experiencing in the senior level schools over the next 6 to 7 years because of how aggressive this program is going to get. And that way they can specifically address, oh no, this kid's very strong in this belief. We need to go ahead and start giving him a substantial amount of propaganda to calm him down. He's just too much of a constitutionalist. This kid over here, etc. Same exact thing. They're already doing it with the Common Core. They're already doing it with the foods we talked about. They're giving them absolute dog poop garbage to eat that's directly causing obesity. So this whole thing is very strange to me. The more and more I read now about the public schools, they are nothing what they used to be back in the 40s and 50s and 60s when actually, you know, kids came together, they went to school, they actually learned things, and they were allowed to be kids. Now it's a giant psych-off to basically manipulate, control, and essentially pollute the mind of this young generation that's coming up. Also, too, now, Ford Motor Company said yesterday it plans to deploy a fully autonomous and driverless ride-hailing car by 2021. This is, again, more cars that go by themselves, pretty creepy still. CEO Mark Field set the target at Ford's research and innovation facility here, which will double its staff to 300 and grow its footprint by 150,000 square feet to respond to the challenge. He goes, this is one example of what we're thinking about expanding our business into mobility more broadly. Ford is currently testing around a dozen self-driving Ford Fusion hybrids on California, Michigan, and Arizona roads. Its goal is to introduce cars with no steering wheel or pedals. That sounds like a brilliant idea. That way, when the car malfunctions and it's going off the road, you don't even have the ability to hop in the driver's seat and override it. There's no steering wheel, and there are no pedals. It just drives by itself all the time. There's no way to override it. This is a great idea, really great idea. The car's powertrain is yet to be decided, but Ford executives stressed that for more commercial applications, such as ride-hailing, a more flexible gas-electric hybrid engine may be preferable to pure electronic. I don't know why, for some reason, there's such a push. I do know why. I do know why, because they want to get rid of us and the independent mindset mentality. They do not want the American public making decisions, because somebody that has a truck, you know, a sports car, and can drive fast has the autonomy to go where they want to go, how fast they want to go, when they want to do it. They want to completely distract us and take this away from us by making us think we need cars that drive by themselves, because we're not capable, we're not safe enough of operating vehicles on a motor, on an interstate highway. Even though we've had vehicles now driving around for over 100 years, it's just not safe anymore. We can't be trusted. We have to have electric hybrids that drive us around now, because we don't know how to do it ourselves. That's where this is going. The same thing that I talked about in Dallas 2 days ago, about the high-rise structure they're building. It's going to be completely designed with no parking spots, no parking garages, no vehicles will be able to stop or park anywhere in this giant area, because it's going to be designed specifically for people to want to live there and want to walk, basically, to go to the bar and want to take a taxi to go to the grocery store and so forth. This is Agenda 21. This is Agenda 2030. This is what they're trying to do with the autonomous cars now, and no steering wheel, no brakes, no gas pedal. This is completely what the UN is trying to implement in the United States. That way, the less rights people have, the less decisions we can make, the less autonomy that we have, the more they can control what we do, what we think, how we act, every single aspect of our life. I mean, look what they already do now online with Google and the tracking now with the ad advertising. I mean, you click on one thing here, you click on something here, they're advertising this. You have to try and stay off all those search engines, but it doesn't matter now. They're all starting to link together in this giant brain, this AI brain, is literally assessing your every single move online. That's what they want to be able to do. That way they can track you on all your driving, because you're not driving anymore. The vehicle's driving for you. So these are just things to think about, guys, to look out for. You don't have to be scared of them, because they're happening, where they're going to happen regardless, but we need to do the best we can to prevent them if we have the ability to, but also too, to remain awake and vigilant and know what's going on, so we're not surprised about anything that happens. That's the biggest key, guys, is being prepared and having the mindset to know, well, we know this is probably going to happen, so we have to be mentally, physically, and spiritually prepared for anything that does happen, including these types of situations. That's why I try and wake everybody up. That's why I suggest all our listeners, all our supporters, all of our customers, please do the same. Wake people up. When people are walking around in a daze, snap your fingers and say, hey, bro, you got to listen. You got to wake up. You got to hear this. That's what we have to do. And the more we do that, the more we pray, the more we minister, the more we wake people up, the more we can get this movement going, this Patriot Alliance, and go from here and try and do the best we can to restore the Constitution of the United States. It's been a great show with you guys today. Glad we had Dad on. We should have him on again tomorrow. You guys have a blessed night. If you guys need anything, email or call us, and we'll be back again on with you guys tomorrow.